That is the opening music from a symphony that is certainly one of Beethoven's most familiar, and it is the sixth, known as the Pastoral Symphony. In a performance, the first of three recordings that I can think of, made by conductor Claudio Abbado, this one with the Vienna Philharmonic. It's the slower of the three. And this piece will be played actually twice this weekend, as it happens, at the Krannert Center for the Performing Arts. Tonight by the University of Illinois Symphony Orchestra, but for the purposes of the discussion, which we are about to have tomorrow night, by the Champaign-Urbana Symphony Orchestra, which will be conducted by one of the conductor and music director finalists for the Champaign-Urbana Symphony Orchestra. The job is open, and there are four guys vying for the chance to take that job. And tomorrow night's candidate, who is with us on the program today, is Farhad Khudiyev. I think I more or less said his name right. We'll find out in a second. Who is originally from Turkmenistan, and has been doing his various degrees here in the United States. And the program will also feature his brother, Emil, as soloist on the concert. We will hear more about the program coming up. As Mr. Khudiyev, thanks very much for joining us on the show.
Thank you, Kevin.
And congratulations for making it this far.
Thank you very much.
In the process.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
The first thing I became curious about in reading about your bio is, what is classical music life like in Turkmenistan? I haven't a clue the answer to that question.
It's all right. It's all right.
Is it active?
It's quite active. It's getting better. After the break of Soviet Union, it slowed down, but now it's more active, and some guest soloists come from different countries and perform. So it's really getting there. The opera is performed there, usually a Turkmen opera, Turkmen classical opera is performed. I haven't heard of the other operas, you know, by other composers from other countries, Western composers, but a lot of Turkmen classical music that's being performed there, and definitely they have good teachers, because I went, my old teacher is still there, the violin teacher, a wonderful violin teacher. So it's, you know how the Russian school has wonderful teachers, and so some of them remained in Turkmenistan and they're preparing really talented musicians.
Yeah. And as you said, you were a violin student there and still play the violin, I presume.
You're still playing
the violin.
Yes, I do play. I perform quite often whenever I can, usually chamber music recitals. Last year I was performing with a pianist from Australia, and our duo was called Duo Fondamento. Yeah, we would perform works by Beethoven, Brahms, Tchaikovsky, Dvorak, sonatas, you know, Beethoven sonatas. And with some kind of a new approach, really getting into the fundamental meaning of pieces. And so that means sometimes, you know, really changing some things to really get into the fundamental meaning of the piece. For instance, if there is a fermata, really getting into that fermata, taking time to let the audience experience what it means for a composer to have a fermata at the end of a movement before completing a movement. I'm thinking of the 10th, the last sonata, violin sonata. And things like this changing. And what we did, we started to rehearse them very slow as we could, so we could really get the feel of the harmonies of the pieces. And so we did that for a few rehearsals in the evenings at a beautiful venue at Yale University, a Markham Chapel, I remember. A lot of rehearsals were there to really get into the mood of the composer and to get the idea. And that was really helpful. And then at the end, we would finally get to the real tempo, and it would feel very natural coming all the way from the slow tempo. And this is some things about the process
of playing chamber music.
Playing chamber music
with this particular duo.
Exactly.
And you mentioned Yale. You got your master's in conducting, mm-hmm. orchestral conducting at Yale. This is a question that one could ask any performer on an instrument who decides to conduct, but what made you decide to go that route?
Mm-hmm.
In your case, in addition to continuing to perform, some people stop performing on their instrument and conduct, but...
Yes, it's an interesting story. I've been playing the violin for all my life, since 6 years old. Went to Interlaken, I played, I studied the violin and composition actually there, and then went to Oberlin Conservatory to study the violin and a bit of composition then too. But at the end of our senior year at Oberlin, I formed a trio, clarinet, violin, and piano, and we went and competed at the Fischhof.
This is the Prima Trio.
Prima Trio, yes. And we're fortunate to get the grand prize and gold medal at the competition. And when we came back to Oberlin, I was very excited about all the concerts coming up and the tour in Europe. But I was always interested, and I always had something for conducting, something special. Even on Interlaken, I always wanted to share with people everything I have in my heart, and just I love to work with people very much, with the people of different backgrounds, and this has always remained in my heart. And even when I came back, I still in the back of my mind always had this.
Came back
after the competition, and all the concerts, always had that. And my teacher at Oberlin, Milan Vitek, a wonderful teacher, he was going to conduct a Dvorak violin concerto with a group at Oberlin. And he fell down and hurt his shoulder, so he couldn't conduct. And he asked me to conduct. And he observed the rehearsal. And after observing the rehearsal, he called me and said, I would like to invite you to my house and talk to you. I came to his house, and he poured some wine, and he told me, you have to be a conductor. And he kept telling me that you have to be a conductor. I told him, Mr. Vitek, but I'm a violinist, and we just got this this prize, and we have all these concerts. Yes, I understand, but you have to be a conductor. And from there, I really thought about it from that point and decided to pursue conducting very seriously. I formed a group at Oberlin, an orchestra, and conducted the Tchaikovsky Piano Concerto with a pianist from Prima Trio, and sent it to Yale University, and from there went on to study conducting. And that's how I really got into.
And now you're trying to find a job.
Well, I have I have a job.
You
actually.
Yes.
I studied for 2 years. I got my master's at Yale, studying with Shinny Kam, a wonderful teacher as well. Then I worked with several orchestras in the area there, and got a job as an artistic director and conductor of the New Jersey Intergenerational Orchestra, which was a really great experience for me. It's an orchestra of different ages, from 6 to 96.
Those are a bunch of generations.
Exactly. A wonderful organization, and we had a very successful year. Record fundraising, record attendance, and so it was a really great, great year for the orchestra. And then I got an offer to be the next music director in Monterey for the Youth Music Monterey organization.
Youth Music?
Monterey. Mm-hmm. Monterey. Managing the whole county of Monterey and everything that's going on with youth, with any musical activities. So I've been doing that since July. And
you've been a finalist or a semi-finalist for a number of other positions.
Exactly.
of
mm-hmm.
fairly large orchestras, mm-hmm. and now a finalist candidate to be music director of the Champaign-Urbana Symphony Orchestra, which is, of course, why you're here. Mm-hmm. The concert is tomorrow night and includes the Beethoven Sixth Symphony, as we heard at the outset and heard a little bit of that piece, known as Beethoven's Pastoral. Brahms wrote four symphonies, including the third, which you're opening this concert with. Mm-hmm. He didn't give his symphonies nicknames, but if one of them could be called the Pastoral Symphony, this would be it,
mm-hmm.
For various reasons. But I'm curious to know, because it's unusual to put two fairly substantial symphonies on mm-hmm. one concert, what made you decide to pair these two, and why lead with the Brahms? Guessed the other way around.
Exactly, exactly. I gave a very deep thought about that. The whole vision, you know, Kevin, I haven't told you that another reason probably the most important reason why I became a conductor is to make music to alive, all the performances, to let the audience know that music is really part of them and part of daily life and everything that they do, and find these details in music and communicate it to the audience. And this is a big part of my work when in rehearsals and in the performance. So this concert is very special for that reason. The theme of the concert is resurrection. So we'll start, as you said, we'll start with the Brahms Third Symphony, which the idea of the concert is to show to the audience how the unity in music, regardless of what period it was written at, romantic, classical. We would like to show that to the audience that music is really full of unity, regardless of the century or a period. So, and the idea is to show how Brahms leads to Mozart and Beethoven, how a more contemporary composer, in this case Brahms, of course, in comparison to Mozart and Beethoven, leads to these composers. And in particular, in the Brahms Symphony, what he's doing, he's going into the memories, all remembrances of reminiscing his life, his wonderful experiences, especially in the middle movements. And because of this, remembrances and beautiful experiences that he's portraying in the music. He goes into freedom and peace that takes him to past, to the past. And you know, the Third Symphony is the only symphony by Brahms that ends very quietly and peacefully. So after Brahms transforms himself to the past in the last movement, we go to Mozart Clarinet Concerto and to the Pastoral Symphony, where all of these beauties are unified, where we hear a lot of beautiful solos from every instrument, and at last, in the last movement, everything is just united, and everything is together, and it's a magnanimous and beautiful ending.
Final movement of
the Beethoven Pastoral. So it's usually done, as you said, you know, you would have Beethoven, Mozart played together at first in the program, and then Brahms. But this way, we let the audience know that it's all one. These artists, these composers, they have same feelings. They relate to each other, and it doesn't matter if they were in a different century, different period. It's all one, and it's all unified.
Since you mentioned the middle movements of the Brahms, here's a little bit of the opening of the third movement of the Brahms. This is a performance by the Chicago Symphony Orchestra, conducted by Sir George Schulte, and Brahms' Third Symphony, which will be on a concert Saturday night by the Champaign-Urbana Symphony Orchestra, guest conducted by Farhad Hodiev, who is my guest here on Live and Local. He's also candidate to be the next music director of the Champaign-Urbana Symphony Orchestra. This is Live and Local. Just a little bit of the third movement of the Third Symphony by Johannes Brahms in a performance by the Chicago Symphony, conducted by Sir George Schulte. And that's going to be on the concert by the Champaign-Urbana Symphony tomorrow night, 7:30 at the Krannert Center for the Performing Arts. Coming back in a moment to my conversation with the guest conductor on that concert. But first, I need to mention that support for our program today comes from the Corkscrew Wine Emporium, 203 North Vine, Urbana, with wine tastings on Saturdays from 3 to 6:30 p.m. in the Bouvon Wine Bar. This Saturday, it's a baker's dozen 13 wines from the Marketplace Selections portfolio, followed from 7 to 9 by the music of Lamont Parsons. Details are on the Corkscrew's Facebook page. News, public affairs, local programming, classical music, of course, WILL's AM and FM stations are a community resource worth supporting, we believe, and we hope you do as well. There's still time for you to help triple the value of supporter pledges during our two-for-one donation deals during our fall drive next week. Now is the time to contribute. Give online at willpledge.org, and thanks in advance for your support. Farhad Hodiev is the guest conductor tomorrow night on the CU Symphony concert. He's also a candidate to be the next music director of the orchestra. And listening to that piece with what you've said about, you know, the nostalgia, I guess I was hearing it in a very different way. And that's certainly an especially nostalgic feeling movement from the Third Symphony. The next piece that will be on the concert is the wonderful Clarinet Concerto of Mozart. And unusual situation for the average concert goer to see brothers conducting and soloing, because your brother Emil will be the soloist for that
exactly
performance. Yeah. Does this happen very often for you two? Have you collaborated on the same concert often?
We have collaborated, yeah, before, and I greatly enjoy performing with him.
Is he younger, older,
he's
similar?
1 year old. Sorry, 1 year younger. He's 25 and I'm 26. He's a really wonderful and special clarinetist. And again, I always say it's not because he's my brother that I'm saying that, but he's really, really one of the most wonderful musicians that I've met in my life. Very natural clarinetist. And, you know, those who will come to the concert will experience it and will hear that. With a beautiful tone, very beautiful tone. You know, in fact, the great clarinetist, legendary clarinetist David Shiffrin, who Emil, my brother, studied with, he would call him Mr. Beautiful Sound.
Shiffrin would say that about your brother,
exactly.
Mr. Beautiful Sound.
Mr. Beautiful Sound.
That's not a bad name to have.
So he has that nickname. And so I'm really, really fortunate to perform with him. And I'm so excited to share his talent with the Champaign-Urbana Symphony audience. Yeah.
Just out of curiosity, does he use a standard clarinet for this piece, or does he use a basset clarinet?
A standard clarinet, yeah, standard.
Because that was the story goes that this piece was originally written for the basset clarinet, which is
basset horn.
Has an extra low notes,
yes,
especially.
Yes.
Otherwise, you have to do a little monkeying around with some
exactly.
of the notes to make them work on standard clarinet.
Yeah.
I don't know if I've ever heard it that. Well, I've heard it in recording that way, but certainly not live.
Not live. Yes, I have not heard it live that way too.
Well, the average clarinetist doesn't own one of those,
exactly,
which is problem
yeah.
number one. But this must be, I mean, this one would assume, I guess people will find out tomorrow if it's true or not, but one would assume that two guys who are so close, both in age and, of course, in relations, should have a really well unified notion of how this piece goes. Do you have fights over interpretation of Mozart clarinet concerto?
Actually, never. You know, he just, I arrived here and he played for 1 minute or so for me, just a little bit, and I didn't say anything. And we rehearsed with the orchestra and I didn't look once at him. So it's really special to play with him. It's so easy for me to perform with him. And again, I don't even look at him, really.
Between the two of you, you just feel how it happens.
Exactly.
And there it goes.
Exactly. And sometimes, if, like at the last rehearsal, I even closed my eyes, and it was even better. It's incredible how in music. You know, from my chamber music experience too, how sometimes when you just listen, carefully listen, that creates everything. And you don't even have to really look. If you just carefully listen and feel where everything is going and what's happening. I remember in Italy when I was performing with the Prima Trio. Before the performance, we got into a fight, a small fight, you know.
Not Emil.
My Prima Trio.
Oh, and the trio,
the Prima
right,
Trio.
Okay.
That's another members. Yeah.
During rehearsals.
Yes,
or
it's just a small fight, you know, one of those musical. And we didn't speak to each other. And the concert started. We were just all. We didn't speak to each other. We both, the clarinetist and other clarinetist that I played with, Boris, we both just turned from each other, turned the chairs, you know, to different sides and just listened to each other. And it was one of the best performances that we had. And I think we performed an hour of music and I didn't look at him once, and that was the best concert I just listened, and the same thing that he did as well, I'm sure. And it's so interesting, you know, how that happens. And so this will be the Mozart clarinet concerto. It will be Emil Khudiev, my brother, as you said.
And Farhad Khudiev, conducting the Champaign-Urbana Symphony Orchestra tomorrow night. The concert starts at 7:30. It'll be at the Krannert Center for the Performing Arts, including the Third Symphony of Brahms, the Sixth Symphony of Beethoven. And if you go to all four of the classics concerts this year, you'll get to see all four conductor candidates. And although you may not have a vote, you can at least experience for yourself who should get the job. I wish you the best of luck.
Thank you very much. I would like to say that it has been a great pleasure to be here, because it's like home to me, Midwest, because I grew up at Interlaken, and working with the orchestra, Champaign-Urbana Symphony is a really wonderful, wonderful orchestra with wonderful staff and the board members. It's really, this week has been a joy, pure joy for me to be here. And I'm looking forward to the concert tomorrow.
Yeah. For more information, you can go to either krannertcenter.com or cusymphony.org and find your way to tickets. Farhad Khudiev, my guest here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. Stay tuned for a conversation with Naomi O'Connell, a mezzo-soprano and first prize winner of the 2011 Concert Artists Guild competition. She will be performing at the Krannert Center Sunday afternoon. And you're listening to Live and Local on FM 90.9, our program made possible by the Great Impasta, a family-owned restaurant serving foods from northern Italy for more than 25 years, the Great Impasta, Lincoln Square in downtown Urbana. More information is available at 359-7377, open 7 days a week for lunch and dinner. That music was by an Irishman named Havelock Nelson, and it's called Dirty Work, sung here by mezzo-soprano Naomi O'Connell, who is the 2011 Concert Artists Guild Grand Prize winner. I guess they call it a grand prize, first prize winner. And she is coming as Concert Artists Guild winner to the Krannert Center for the Performing Arts in Urbana Sunday afternoon for a recital at 3 o'clock with pianist Brent Funderburk. And she is with me on the phone right now. Thanks for joining us on the show.
Very happy to.
Who is the pianist performing on Dirty Work? Do you know offhand?
That is Brent von der Berg himself.
Himself, how convenient.
I tell you, Brent is he's just one of my most favorite people to collaborate with. He's always fantastic. He's always in good form. We rehearse well together. It's like we're definitely a two-man show.
This is gonna, may sound a little strange. It seems like most of the Irish people that I talk to on this show are in fact performers of traditional Irish music. We have a fair number that come through here. We have in Champaign-Urbana, we have a concert series that focuses on that. And I wonder, out of curiosity, if you have ever been involved in other than classical singing.
Other than classical singing? Well, I suppose I started, my very first musical training was at the age of what? I must have been 7 or something, and I started with the tin whistle, the Irish traditional tin whistle, which is, or the penny whistle, I think you guys call it, right?
Either one.
So I started with that with my teacher, Margot McGeaney, and I studied that for about 6 years or so, and so we used to play in sessions and whatnot. So that really was my first introduction, strangely enough, to music, was the Irish traditional scene. And not that I continued it, and I regret that now. I have to say I should have kept it on, but I switched to guitar and then I gave that up because it was too hard on my fingers. And then eventually I found singing at the age of 13 with my teacher, Archie Simpson, at home. And then, you know, it kind of basically the world turned technicolor. It was a fantastic revelation, and I thought, oh, this feels right. And I stuck with that, and that's where it's been going since then, you know, one thing after another. And I love it, I have to say. And I mean, the Irish traditional music, it's lovely to come from a country where there is such a strong sense of musicality, and it's very so much involved in our culture. It's a part of your daily life. You know, we always grew up with music around us.
So the experience with the tin whistle never got you to doing any traditional Irish songs in the mix of your recitals?
Oh, I have done that.
You
yeah,
have.
Of course. I mean, we have, they actually are very, very good in Ireland about promoting the Irish language, and we all have to study it in school up until the end of high school. And I've sung a few songs in Irish before. There aren't, there is a lot of repertoire out there. And of course, I'm sure you know about the Seanad singing, which is a different style entirely. Which I haven't done, but is very interesting to me. So I've sung a few Irish tunes. Shula Gra is one of them, Silarun O. There are all these, I mean, they're beautiful melodies, really haunting. And then, of course, there's the Moore's Irish melodies. I've done them as well. And then, I mean, you've got, like what you've just heard, the Dirty Work. There's this rich, rich variety of Irish art song that really isn't discovered yet. It's people don't seem to know about it. And they're doing a lot of different promotional kind of concerts in Ireland, and there's Culture of Ireland, different organizations that are looking to promote it. So hopefully Brent and I have plans to record an album of some Irish art song, and that would be fantastic if that works out. So, I mean, it certainly influenced me, but I have to say that my teacher from a very young age was, he was so interested in opera that we dove right in there from the age of about 14 or 15 into opera arias and different explorations. I sang Casta Diva at the age of, 16, which is unheard of. You shouldn't do that, really. But, I mean, it was fun. So we allowed that. And then when I went to Dublin with my teacher there, we looked at a lot of German song. And, of course, I'm half German, so that was already felt quite at home as well. And then all sorts of different art songs coming to Juilliard then. All of these wonderful teachers and coaches that we have here, and I'm exploring different repertoire again, like Norwegian and Finnish. It's just a whole rich variety of song out there. So, yeah.
So you're currently a student at the Juilliard School.
That's right, yeah. I graduate in December. I took a semester off to go and work in London for 6 months. And so this is now, yeah, it's now the beginning of my fifth year in New York.
And so you got a master's there, working on your artist diploma currently?
That's right, yeah.
With Dr. Robert White, that's not to be confused with the Irish Robert White, I presume.
Exactly, yeah. It's funny, isn't it? There are two Robert Whites who knew in the college here of like a very small faculty, and you've got two Robert Whites on the voice faculty. Yeah, this is Dr. Robert White. I call him Doc, and he is just one of my favorite people in the entire world, I have to say. I had a lesson earlier on today, and it was just lovely to sing some of the repertoire. We actually went over some of the repertoire that we're doing for Sunday. So he's a great, great human being, wonderful teacher.
Well, I wanted to ask you about the repertoire well, your repertoire generally as reflected in your repertoire for Sunday, because it's there are a couple of things interesting to me about it.
Yeah.
One is that I don't think that I have ever quite seen such a variety of composers on a vocal recital, or on anybody's recital for that matter.
Oh.
And which I think is wonderful. And the other is that, as it's billed here anyway, it's held together by an interesting and really lovely sounding theme: words to love and live by.
That's right.
So I guess overall, just kind of curious how you evolved this idea and your recital programming in general.
Right. Well, I think programming a recital is really one of my favorite things to do. I have to say, it is such fun to discover new pieces of music and to go. It's also because there's such a wealth of repertoire out there. I mean, it's very hard to decide what exactly you want to focus on. And because, of course, with songs, you can pick and choose. You have so much to choose from. So the words to love and live by, interestingly enough, I think I was in London or sometime earlier last year, and I was ill. I had the flu. And I was, you know, so sick that I really had nothing else to do. I was too miserable. Couldn't watch TV. Couldn't do any of that. And I was thinking about advice and, you know, the advice that you use to get you through life. What do you use to move on? Like, if you've got a broken heart, how do you move on from that? How do we grow up? And how do you, let's say, carry on after somebody close to you has passed away? And these songs all seem to me then to link together this idea of growing up, of advice to follow and whatnot. And so that's where it came from. I mean, I said in the program notes that it's almost like my self-help book, words that, you know, comfort, heal, and teach you. It's really, it's a lovely theme, I think. And then we have all sorts of different composers. We've got Debussy, starting off with some of his most beautiful songs, the Chansons de Bilitis, which are just wonderful and about love and discovery, all of that. And then there's this wonderful composer, Hermann Silcha, who people really don't know about. And I mean, I didn't hear about him until earlier on this year. And his songs are just really, really, I find very, very special. And they're love songs about the end of a relationship, the beginning of a relationship, the feelings there about growing up. There's some really, really special verses in there as well. And then we're finishing the first half with Copland's Settings of Emily Dickinson. We've chosen six of those. And those songs are just mind-stoppingly beautiful, I think. It's just fantastic. I love her words and I love his setting of them. They're quite different to everything else on the program, actually. And we're finishing the first half with a song called The Chariot, which begins with the words, "Because I would not stop for death, he kindly stopped for me. The carriage held but just ourselves and immortality."
That's one of her most favorite poems,
famous
poems.
Yeah, this is the one, actually, that Copland set. It was the first one that brought him into the poetry of Emily Dickinson. And they're really, I mean, they're stunning, stunning pieces of music. So very excited to perform them for the first time, actually.
And they're not easy either. They're not easy either.
They're not easy, yeah. I realized this when I started learning them. I was like, okay, yeah, there's a bit of a gigantic task to get on. But They're very, very special. I'm excited to perform them for the first time, and so they're beautiful, truly beautiful. Then the second half, I've got these little headings that we've got throughout the recital to kind of hook it all together. And we start the second half with Big Ceilings, Little Wisdoms. So different songs, some that are, you know, sweeping with emotion, you know, these huge expansive feelings that are sometimes reflected in the landscape they're describing, and then little nuggets of information that kind of make you smile, like Daphenio by Eric Satie. It's this beautiful little, it's a kind of a nonsensical conversation between two little children. And you know the way when you overhear kids talking sometimes, they can be so wise and knowing without even realizing it, completely innocent. So there's that. And we've got Three Lieder of Hugo Wolf, and the second one is called Auch kleine Dinge. It's also little things in life to can charm you, and it talks about all of these small little things in life that you wouldn't really necessarily think of as being completely beautiful and transformative, but it's they you know, it says take your time, find your delight in the small things of everyday life. It was good advice for us all. We've got some Michael Head, some Frank Bridge, Charles Ives, and then we're finishing the concert with selections from William Bolcombe's cabaret songs. I was very happy to work with William Bolcombe and his wife, Joan Morris, this summer at the Marlborough Music Festival, and we sang a couple of these songs for him, and they're just wonderful. I think they've been some of the most fun to rehearse and to perform. Very moving, very true, hard-hitting and honest. They're really very special texts and very special music, so I'm looking forward to them as well. So Brent and I have been having a great time rehearsing, I have to say, and we're really looking forward to performing them there at the Cranard Centre. It's going to be a special day for us.
Well, it's a fabulous program. I'm talking with Naomi O'Connell, mezzo-soprano, winner of the 2011 Concert Artist Guild Awards and competition, and she'll be with Brent Funderburk at the Cranard Centre Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock, this wonderful program, Words to Love and Live By. You mentioned some songs by Hugo Wolf, who seems to get really neglected. He was, quite literally, eventually kind of a crazy guy, lost his mind a bit. I don't remember his dates, but sometimes through the middle of the 20th century, am I remembering right?
I think so,
yeah. Something like that. Actually, they're sitting right in front of me. Oh, not even, I'm late. Born same year as Mahler, as a matter of fact, 1860, died early in 1903, but he wrote a lot of really wonderful Lieder or songs, and I wanted to play here one that you performed. I guess this is from a live occasion, Als ich auf dem Euphrat schiffte. You want to say
a little bit
what's that about?
So it's a very small song, a little poem about a woman who is having, the poem starts off, there's this kind of rocking motion in the piano, and they're on a boat, and she says, as I was sailing on the Euphrat, which is a river, she dreams that the ring that you gave me fell off into the water and through the depths. And then she says, tell me, what does this dream mean? It's a very small, very beautiful poem. And a very simple setting, but like Wolf, he's a genius, you know, and he knew how to put an entire world into two pages of music. It's incredible to sing.
Als ich auf dem Euphrat schiffte, streifte sich der
Music by Hugo Wolf is called Als ich auf dem Euphrat schiffte, sung by mezzo-soprano Naomi Campbell. I'm sorry, that's a completely different person.
Don't worry, that happens all the time. You'd be surprised. I've been thinking about changing my name, but you know, it's pointless. It's going to happen for another few years, and then hopefully people will forget about her. But
well, that just spilled out of my mouth. To be honest, I can't even think of who Naomi Campbell is. But
she's a supermodel.
Oh, well then.
Famous bad-tempered supermodel.
Oh, I don't.
I've been announced as that on stage on many occasions.
Oh, sorry about that.
It's a very funny thing. And then you walk out on stage and half of the audience are going, wah, wah, wah.
Uh-huh. Well, I don't even know who she is. But Naomi O'Connell is the mezzo-soprano. I'd like to hear Naomi Campbell sing that well. With pianist Brent Funderburk here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. Mm-hmm. She'll be at the Cranard Center in recital. They will be in the Cranard Center Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock. And, you know, I'm a little torn what song we're going to go out with, but I think both of them come, well, one of them comes from musical, one of the two I'm trying to decide between, and I'm not sure about the other. Something called The Enchanted Pig by Jonathan Dove. Is that a musical or an opera?
It's actually an opera. It's written by Jonathan Dove. He's a big up-and-coming composer. He wrote the opera Flight, which I think was premiered in Chicago. Wonderful composer. And the libretto is by Alistair Middleton. I got the book of the entire libretto actually recently enough and read through it one night. And it's one of those things that actually makes you laugh out loud. It's really, really well written, very well rhymed. And Jonathan Dove's music is hysterical as well. I mean, the Adelaide's aria, if you want to play it, is going to be, it's basically a Bridezilla moment, you know. I mean,
Bridezilla?
Bridezilla, yeah. Mm. You know, 3 days before a wedding, the way the bride kind of suddenly turns into something that you never want to be around, and everybody reconsiders the whole thing. Well, at least that's the, I've been told that this is what it's like when you're getting ready for a wedding.
Uh-huh.
And so in this particular, it's a fairy tale opera, and Adelaide is the daughter of the bad person, you know, the evil witch. And she is set to be married to the hero of the opera, who unfortunately turns into a pig every night, you know, what can you do? But it's 3 days until her wedding, and she's ordering her servants about nothing is right, and the veil isn't long enough and everything. And it's just, it's a kind of a riot. Yeah.
Well, I think you've sold me on going out with that song. But I guess what before we actually hear it,
yeah.
I was curious, since some of the songs that are on the website for Concertata Scale, which people can go listen to, by the way, are from musicals, and I wondered if you ever perform in musicals in addition to operas and classical recitals and so on.
I have done. I've performed in Gilbert and Sullivan, which are operettas, and I did just recently in London. We performed La Péricole, which is an operetta or opera bouffe, I suppose, by Offenbach, which has the same kind of idea. You have musical numbers in there and then speaking in between, which was fantastic fun, I have to say. And I also was involved in a play recently on the West End called Masterclass, which was, I sing an opera aria in it, but was playing opposite Tyne Daly, who portrays Maria Callas. And that was a fantastic experience, I have to say, of doing a show that night. We were doing the usual schedule, 8 shows a week. And to do that was a big revelation for me, and I really enjoyed it, I have to say, and I learned so, so much in that experience. And yeah, in the future, I would be very interested in looking at that sort of repertoire. Of course, now I do have classical training, and I haven't learned how to belt yet. That's a possibility. Who knows? And so a lot of, obviously, the musicals that we know of today, like Avenue Q, Wicked, all of them, they require that belting technique, which I can't do yet, safely. I need to find a teacher who can teach me that if I want to go down that direction. But there's a vast repertoire also of musicals where you can use your classical vocal technique and have great fun with it. So yeah, I mean, I'm open. My main thing in following this career is that I love to work with good people who inspire me and, you know, push me to be the best possible version of an artist that I can be. So whatever that entails, whether it's as a play, whether it's a musical, whether it's an opera or a recital in this case, it's a really rewarding task if you're working with good people, which is why I love to collaborate with Brent. He's one of the absolute top young pianists, I think, in this country. And he's just really, I you're going to love him. He's just wonderful.
Well, it is a pleasure to talk to you and to hear you sing. And we'll go out with this song called Adelaide's Aria from The Enchanted Pig by Jonathan Dove. And Naomi O'Connell is the mezzo-soprano. And is Brent Funderburk also playing here?
In this one, yes. Yeah, he's there as well. That's him.
And the two of them will be
I think we recorded that at Ravinia. I can't remember where we recorded that.
Ravinia
I think
Festival.
It was last year. We spent a summer, or 2 years ago now, 2 summers ago, we were at Ravinia together and we recorded a few things. That's definitely where the Vault recording was from, that recital, yeah.
Okay. Naomi and Brent will be at the Krannert Center Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock in a recital called Words to Love and Live By. And you're listening to Live and Local. Thanks very much for joining us. Naomi O'Connell with pianist, Brent Funderburk, in music by Jonathan Dove. It's called Adelaide's Aria from the opera called The Enchanted Pig. You're listening to Live and Local on FM 90.9. Join us tonight at 7 o'clock on Prairie Performances with Roger Cooper for a broadcast of the Millikan Decatur Symphony Orchestra concert from last September 15th. And then they're playing tomorrow night at the Kirkland Fine Arts Center. Our program today is made possible with support from PACE Incorporated, Center for Independent Living, People with Disabilities, their family and friends, promoting accessibility and independence. PACE Inc. is a proud member of Community Shares of Illinois, a choice for payroll deductions at work. You're listening to 90.9 WYLL FM and HD Urbana with translator W293 AF Danville.